está Messi.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Tonight we have Joe on the phone and we have another special guest this week. We have Nick Raimondo from the Vaughan Soccer Club. He'll talk to us tonight about the steps that the Vaughan Soccer Club are taking to can get the kids playing soccer again for the first time this season. So stay tuned for that. But guys, as usual, you can get to our podcast from our website, footballweekly.com. You can subscribe to our podcast on Twitter, the @football_weekly. You can subscribe on Instagram, football_weekly_podcast. You can subscribe to our podcast from iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. We're on Spotify. We're on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts. We're everywhere you use to download podcasts. We're on that platform. So guys, lots to talk about. Without any further ado, let's get into this. So sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast, and we'll be back after this.
Hi, this is Matthew Arnone, York 9 FC defender. You're listening to the Football Weekly Podcast.
Joe, last week, little glimmer of light. This week, looks like a train's coming towards us.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing, right? Like, this is week to week, we're getting a little bit more hope. Slightly smaller.
A little bit closer to what everyone's been waiting for. A little bit closer, which is good to see, right?
Yeah, for sure. The world is hopefully gearing toward a better spot, hopefully, and the world of football is trying to bring that back for sure.
Most definitely. We've had a couple of weeks of the Bundesliga already. It looks like the EPL and the Serie A are going to start this week, in this upcoming month as well. We're three weeks away, Joe? 3 weeks?
Yeah, within days of each other. They were saying June 17th, the EPL, June 20th, Serie A, and of course, June 13th, the Coppa Italia semifinals. So
who's in that?
It's coming.
Do you remember who's in that? Yeah. Do you remember who's in that?
Yeah, Milan Juventus 1-1. I think. Not bad. I think Napoli and Napoli Inter, or Napoli and Fiorentina. But we got to check that. But it's back, so we're happy for that for sure.
We'll ask Logan about the Serie A stuff.
Yeah,
but guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. This week, no different from the last 5 weeks, it looks like. We have another special guest on, and we're going to leave it to Joe to give his, Joe actually looks forward to all of this, right? You got it, right?
I feel like under pressure, he's got to play here, you know?
Nah, Joe, you're beautiful at it.
Playoffs are here, big game, I'm ready. There you go. Yeah, so this week, we have someone who's, like we were talking a little bit before, off air, has been a lifelong supporter, a guy who didn't need a push. We just mentioned the show, and he's been a great supporter of the Football Weekly Podcast on social media, getting others to listen and really advocating for us and also, you know, provoking us with some questions and feedback. It's been really great to have Nick Raimondo of the Vaughan Soccer Club be one of those guys for us. Nick comes with a wealth of experience in soccer. He is a board member currently at Vaughan Soccer Club, has been in that capacity for a number of years. Just over 10 years or so. Nick started with Vaughan Soccer Club as anyone who should, at the grassroots, the volunteer level, helping his kids, being a coach on the field, being there for the right reasons, and then growing into a great role, into a club that's become a pretty great club. And so Nick has been a great member in terms of growing the game in the Vaughan Soccer Club in many facets, capacities. He's always looking to help out wherever he needs and wherever the club needs. A good portion of his time spent, you know, the behind-the-scenes things, making sure that our high-performance group, which we've talked about a lot lately, okay, runs, and he's been a great administrator for that, supporting OPDL, League One, been part of our entourage, if you will, that went off to the Canadian Championships and as well as the Inter-Provincial Championships a few years back. So, Nick, without further ado, welcome to the Football Weekly Podcast.
Well, thanks a lot, guys, for having me. Love listening to your show each and every week. You guys have some great guests, and it's always nice to hear some of the banter that goes on. And it's always good to know that every week I can look forward to a great show you guys put on. So kudos to you guys for doing this.
Much appreciated. Thank you, Nick. You very much, Nick. We have a lot of fun doing the show. I think Joe can agree with that. And, you know, the guests that we've been getting the last, I'd say, month and a half, fantastic A1.
Yeah, so again, every week we've been doing this, and me and Nick have been talking off air about it, and Nick and I go back and forth. We share a lot of common themes, but Nick and I, it's the ultimate rivalry. Never mind Arsenal and Tottenham. Nick is a big-time Inter fan, and we were talking today, just talk about how you became an Inter fan and so on. So Nick, you know, your love for the Nerazzurri, how did that come about? I mean, I can
hopefully
guess.
I don't get too much abuse for him.
No. I'm the one at the lowest of the low right now. I could be taking the kicking as a Milan fan. But Nick, your love for Inter starts when, my man?
Oh, going back, yeah, I'm probably a bit older than both of you guys. So mine goes back to kind of forced to when I was probably, not forced. It was the only thing, not like today where you can stream all kinds of games. It was basically listening to Sadia from the radio. My dad was a big Inter fan.
Yeah, awesome.
So it kind of went down on me, sort of following them. I remember going back to like 79 and 80s, Alto Belli and fantastic players they had. They were always the Cinderella. They didn't always finish second, third, fourth. But they did a nice little run, which I was happy for. The treble in 2010. So
of course. Yeah, that's legendary. Yeah.
And ripping off, four or five years in a row. But that's with some of the scandals. But yeah, they're not the Juventus. But you're a Milanese, so they've all had their peak. And now it looks for the Juventus fans, they've been on a nice little run for a long time. So
yeah,
hopefully.
Well,
between us or Inter, Milan can somehow find a way to take that first place. But
Inter's showing some life, more than life. I mean, step in the right direction with Conte and these guys and revolving, you know, Lautaro Martinez and Lukaku and so on. I mean, it'd be nice to keep them together. They talk about selling Lautaro, but Inter's definitely putting up the fight. And I'd say they're right up there with, you know, longevity of probably giving Juventus in the long run. You know, with all due respect to Lazio and these other teams, Inter looks like the team that's poised to give them a run, eh, Reg?
I think so. Just before the whole COVID thing started, I think Juve played Inter in a game, and they beat them. So it looked like it could be a two horse race between Lazio and Juve. But Inter was always in there, and that was actually my pick to win. So Nick, there you go. They're my pick to win the Scudetto this
year.
There
it is. The love affair with our guests.
That was my pick.
You guys plan this stuff. There you go.
It was my heart. It was my heart pick, but the brain pick says Juve because they win it every year, right?
It's true.
I think you bringing up that game brings me back to when this whole COVID initially started.
True.
That game, and I remember watching it because my son Daniel, he's a big Juve fan, and sat there, and we were looking, saying it didn't have that feel. There was no fans.
Yeah,
right.
It was the beginning of the year of this weird time, wasn't it, Nick? And Reggie and I talked about it.
And it was like, wow. And
yeah, what's going on? Yeah.
If we had 2020 vision at where we're at now, I'll passionately watch any and every soccer game or football.
Yeah,
I think we're all doing that now, aren't we? It's crazy. I was telling somebody today, I said, watching these games now with no fans, it's like, there's all this stuff. How's it going to do that with fans? Actually, for, I guess, the three of us included, anyone who's been on our show, diehard soccer guys and football guys, you know what? It's kind of cool to listen to the players, like, talk to each other and hear the instructions. So I don't know. What do you guys think of that, Reg?
Well, Nick? It's going to be kind of like our games, Joe. No one shows up, and we seem to get through them okay. So I think the pros should be able to do it, definitely.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I hear what you're saying about hearing the instructions. It was good. If I knew the language, it would probably be even better. But I think with the EPL coming, and you can start hearing what the coaches are really saying when they're giving instructions on the sideline. I think it's a pretty cool atmosphere, and it's a pretty cool thing to listen to. So
Nick, do you like that? I mean, I know we like the fans and stuff, but what have you been thinking? I mean, I know your German's pretty good, but
you know what, that facet of it, because it's unique and you don't get all the time to hear it. I like it. You know, then I'm thinking, well, you know, when there's the other play, when you have the fans sort of starting to cheer or boo. I'm thinking, yeah, maybe this TV networks could put it in, like pretend, I guess, noise.
I think they're looking at that.
Yeah. I want this thing to end. I want people to understand. That's a unique thing, and it is interesting in who you think's vocal, because when it doesn't matter with 4K TV.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
Now we can actually, you can hear it. That's what I'm listening for when they get
for sure. Yeah, for I mean, sure. Like you just mentioned, and all that, okay, we can do with it. We all know, and Nick mentioned it too, the fans of the fans. We need that support. So hopefully one day soon, this is the road to that for sure. So Nick, you mentioned your son too. So that's a great place to start. So actually, no, Nick, one more thing, actually. Two things, okay, actually. World Cup, which one was for you like, hey, and I think I know which one it might be for Nick, by the way, which might give me some goosebumps. And then jersey, because I got an Inter jersey. Let's see if it's the same one. So I don't know, a jersey, Nick, from the old days. And a World Cup that said, yeah, this was the one that really brought me, that I remember the most.
1982.
There it is. Reggie knew it. Yeah.
Watching it, I still remember to this day knowing exactly where I was watching the whole World Cup because I was 11 years old and at home, got to watch it all. And
amazing.
I remember living in Brampton and the unexpected. When I mean unexpected, I mean, moving forward, the new generation sees the premeditated celebrations. It doesn't matter in the regular games, round robin, and then the elimination games. That World Cup, honestly, the flags and the outpouring of everybody. I still remember 1976 Nova, getting into our 76 Nova. And I think a lot of people went to that St. Clair area because that's where a lot of our nonnies and nonnos lived, right? And guess we're blessed they won in 2006 that I was able to do the same thing with my kids, right?
Yeah, pretty amazing.
They were five and one, and I said, you know, you don't know when it'll happen again. So
yeah, that's amazing.
I had the Schneider one that I got. To me, he was a machine when they won it all.
I thought I was saying to my good friend of mine who was an Inter fan, I said, This is what you guys needed, right? And remember, Mourinho was always looking for that 10.
Yeah.
And then he literally found him, you know, and that's, I think, what put Inter over the top that year.
Dynamo, that guy.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah, so as a kid, you always got, selection was the Italy jersey, right? Parents weren't going to say, start buying my favorite team. So that was the highlight when I was able and older to just buy my own jerseys. But even if you watch the games, how they were in the 80s, if you ever, on even YouTube now, it's great to see the rivalry when, you know, you had Platini and all this.
Yeah, amazing.
You're seeing,
yeah, and the socks rolled down to the ankles, eh, Nick?
That's it.
No, it's true. That boggled me, the shorts all the way up. And Nick,
the shoelaces tied around the ankle.
Of course, which now is like a complete no-no, but yeah. Nick, I'll leave you with this, and then we'll move on, but the nostalgia, but back in the day in Serie A, Reggie had, and Nick will remember this, you had only can dress three foreigners.
Yeah.
And for me, it was like, so I grew up, obviously, a Milan fan. I was, you know, Hullet, Van Basten, Rijkaard.
It's not a bad, done. You knew not those, a bad three.
Right? And then you looked at Inter, and I said, wow, that's not bad either, with Brema, Klinsmann, and Mateus. I was like, wow. So that was, and they had the Mizura on the front.
Yeah.
Hey, Reggie and Nick. So, you know what? Those are the days, and of course, we talked about that. So, you know what? I like that Nick mentioned 82 because I got to admit it. A lot of guys my age will say, oh, yeah, well, I was 3, 4, and 5. Listen, I briefly remember that, okay, briefly. But Nick was 11 and he enjoyed it. So we'll leave that last word to Nick on that. So thanks, Nick, for that. Okay, so, I mean, we've been saying this for a while. We talked about having Nick on for a bit because we wanted to get, you know, a club executive's viewpoints on a lot of things. Unfortunately, the world has changed, and Nick is obviously going to provide us his expertise on, you know, a community club like Bond Soccer Club in the era of a pandemic. And community clubs, and we've talked about how, you know, the whole world and the economy and different facets of life have changed and have been had to alter professional soccer. But also, Nick, we'd be remiss if we didn't look at community clubs, and they're affected too. So maybe just take us through, you know, the beginnings of this, and we had a lot of conversations ourselves. You know, Nick works also very closely with myself in putting on the Vaughn Showcase with Patrice Geyser and so on. He's a great administrator for us. So, Nick, maybe just take us through how, you know, the early days of this and how a community club reacted to this and what they've been doing so far and then maybe where we're headed.
Where do we start? The great thing is I'm not sure if our listeners know, or but I know Joe does, like our members, we've got 5,500 members. When it initially started, sort of you heard it January, February, but it hadn't hit Canada. Thankfully, you know, Vaughan Soccer Club does, we've got strategic plans. We've got, you're always planning for months ahead, but, you know, not necessarily people have a pandemic flowchart that you got to follow should something happen. Going back, I think it was the week of March 8th or the weekend, March 9, 10, it started coming down. And that week, the 11th and 12th and 13th, I vividly can remember as if it was yesterday with our technical lead guys, you know, Serge DeLuca, Carmen Asako, the grassroots Luca Forno, our executive committee, including the board, saying, okay, we got to be in front of this. We were actually one of the, probably the first ones, I think, you know, from locally that we made a decision and made an announcement to our members on March 7th. No, I think it was the week after. So
March
12th.
Yep.
March 12th, we made a decision. We'd suspend all soccer activity. There was just too much information that was coming our way, and our first priority was for the safety and health of our members. So we said, you know what, rather be proactive and maybe, you know, suspend it and say, okay, we shouldn't maybe have suspended it. It wasn't, but just we needed to make sure that we were careful when it came to the health of our members. So we came out with a communication, and immediately we kicked in with our club preparedness task force team, which included our technical staff, our executive staff, and everybody sort of had pieces into it. I mean, when such a pandemic starts off, and then daily, we're having conversations daily.
Yeah, things are changing so fast, weren't they?
At the early stages. Yeah. So, you know, you've got to have people that are looking after, you know, the communication to our members, you know, through social media, through internally emails. I mean, and you've got different programs, right? So at the same time, you've got our house league program that's running. You've got our indoor competitive programs that are still in indoor facilities. And it just started. So we wanted to be in front of it as well with communication to keep the anxiety, to make everybody understand, listen, we're all in this together. We're going to, you know, it's fluid. Things are moving, but for right now, we're going to suspend all soccer activities, and then after thereafter, thing just went
haywire.
Pretty much, what's the right word? It was. Nick talks about that week, and obviously, you know, being part of one event thing, and we were. I remember it was early days, and Nick was at an event, and we were doing it at a local high school, and we were talking then, and you know, Reggie's abreast of the situations too. Said, yeah, getting ready for the showcase, and we bring in college coaches and people who know Vaughan Soccer Club, and we know that that's what we do as well. It's a big part of what we do every March. And I remember it was quick. And, you know, Nick and I were talking, and then we're like, well, we're not sure. We'll see. And then the next day was like, okay, you know what? We better take the steps necessary to do this. And then, as we know, the ball kept rolling. So kudos to you, Nick, and the board and the technical staff. You mentioned, yes, I'm biased. I'm a member of the club, but, you know, and many clubs, you know, kudos to them too. But we're talking to Nick, and that was a great, they've been doing a great job of, like I said, keeping everybody informed and doing what is right and for the safety of everybody. And again, there's so many protocols you gotta follow, right? And not only the health officials, but also, you know, cities, municipalities, and so on. So, you know, the beat goes on with that.
So it was basically constant conversations. And then what we adapted with our technical staff and the board was keeping our members and communicating about what was next, right? We also, we had two different types. We had recreational house league players and athlete players that just wanted to get, you know, their physical activity in once a week. Then we had the competitive side, OPDL, our high performance, as Joe mentioned. Unfortunately, it didn't just, you know, go away in a week or two.
We're
still in the same situation, but I can say that looking back on how things were dealt, I mean, I've got to give kudos to our technical team, just ensuring that we're keeping all our members
engaged.
That's exactly right. What we've done is we've looked after, you know, keeping the parents apprised with communication, and our technical staff and all the coaches have put on, you know, in touch with all the players and then within the program, ensuring that they remained active. And that was about after about 3 or 4 weeks. The technical team then started off with saying, we're going to do this and start doing it in the whole Zoom. You know, who would have thought how it would go? We weren't sure. But I can tell you that our feedback from our members and everybody saying that it's fantastic because it's keeping the children engaged. We tend to forget that these are players that we're used to seeing each other 3 to 5 days a week.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that mental state of being isolated and not being able to see, you know, their friends and that whole soccer that's just not about the game. About
and their mentor as a coach, you know, he or she is a big part of their lives. And exactly. That's such a good point. I'm going to put my parent hat on, Nick. And Nick mentioned that, Reg, and I'm glad he did. And my parent hat is, you know, I'm a parent of a Vaughan Soccer Club kid, two of them actually. And my oldest, who's been part of, you know, plays for Jarek Whiteman, who's a League One Ontario player for us at Vaughan Soccer Club, and Dom Tucci and Shaq. And, you know, they've been part of what Nick was called, which he mentioned, Serge DeLuca, Jody Forno, and Luca Forno doing, you know, Zoom sessions with the kids. And in the beginning, you know what? You put this out 3 days a week, you know, for an hour. These kids are, you know, getting some one-on-one training, essentially, Reg, right? You're in front of a screen. You're engaging with your coach. And I'm going to be biased a little bit. My kids loved it. And I know a lot of the parents have. So that's a great thing of keeping, you know, players engaged. Like we said, I know it's happening at different clubs, and that's great too. It's an amazing thing. Nick, I mean, you spoke to the work that our technical staff is doing, you know, and you know, I spoke to someone else from another club, and it was saying how gave a lot of credit to our technical guys led by Serge DeLuca, and they're constantly meeting like once a week. And Serge is one of the guys who's been on there every week in those meetings. So again,
the technical staff, I'm not saying it biased. They've actually, and Serge with putting all, and Luca Forno being the grassroots.
Yep, for sure.
Director and every coach. I don't want to leave people's names out.
Yeah. We'll make sure we get them after
together
here.
And did a whole platform, and all clubs are. And I think you can say, you know, every club in Ontario has tried to manage the pandemic and as best as they can and ensure that the players stay somewhat engaged, that they're, you know, doing things on their own, but also doing other activities. I know like our older groups, you know, some of the coaches have adapted where they had players doing the, and everybody following and each week rotating. But, you know, that's, at the end good. Of the day, they're all dying to get onto this.
They want to play, right? Reg, you want to play.
I'm dying, right? I'm dying.
Even we aren't dying to play.
To get out there.
I mean, I'm dying to drink a bit of beer too, right? But
the work that they've done, and then it's obviously the board members dealing with staying on top of, you know, working with on task force or making sure that we are following, you know,
protocols,
health protocols, provincial, our governing bodies. There's communication, but what we've tried to tell everybody, and just like, you know, we're hearing daily from politicians, is like it's fluid. It's a situation. I mean, we don't have answers. All the answers, we can only wish that we will. I mean, the dates. So what we did is we had always the moving dates, right? They said, okay, maybe. And in line with, obviously, the Ontario Soccer, Canada Soccer, the City of Vaughan, you know,
a lot of moving parts, right, Nick, is what
exactly.
We're saying.
Exactly. And preparing. And then we had to transition into outdoor and, you know, telling people, okay, well, we'll have a shortened season if that's the case. You know, we've got different programs. One that's dear to our heart, too. We do a special needs program. What we do is we have a program that has, and we probably have about 50 or 60, and it's been running for about, I don't have it in front of me, and I know Sarah Pellegrini is probably going to say, Nick, how come you don't know the number? But it's, I think it's 10 plus years.
Amazing.
And it's a weekly thing for about 12 weeks, and it's for special needs.
Incredible.
Kids that that's aren't awesome. Able, and we do it once a week for them, and it's our best buddy. We have a volunteer for each child, because every child has different sort of whatever their health issue may be, or if it's physical or mental, or you want to tell people, well, we're going to come back. We'll try to see if we can run a shorter program, what we can
something
do,
but, right? Parents and players, they look forward to it. It's a major thing, and those kids don't get those opportunities.
Exactly. You know, City of Vaughan, currently, you know, July 5th is when parks can open up. Well, that doesn't mean necessarily clubs or any sports can play, right? They may be deferred. We have to figure that out. But I can tell you unequivocally that Serge DeLuca has put together a fantastic return to play plan that
Terrific.
Just using, you know, what's out there in other countries are doing. And, you know, you've heard so many 4-to-1 ratio, whatever that the return to play is, we have to remember the safety of the health of the kids first. So that's us. Anything that is done is done with that in mind, even when there's a return to play, right? The right. new normal is going to be a different normal.
Well, that being said, Nick, sure. and I know that you're talking about, you just mentioned that the parks are opening up July 5th. How close are you? And I know you said Serge is doing all the road mapping to getting the teams and the clubs back on the field. But how close do you think to that July 5th start date? Parks opening date. Do you think that the leagues will take to get going? Plus, I know you're going to have to do a little bit of, not a little bit, but you're going to have to train for, I don't know, Joe, what, 2-3 weeks before you can even get into the games? But how close to that July 5th?
I think Nick can speak more to that. Yeah.
How close to that July 5th date do you think the clubs will start to get going?
I mean, so there's discussions like OPDL has been communicating with ROPDL, you know, director and technical staff, and they've done surveys, you know, with Jordan Feliciano as part of it and Serge DeLuca and also then the presidents. So what happens is they've had different scenarios. So if you want to kind of understand the background, it's not just basically they're just coming up with a number or waiting when that date comes live and then everybody just runs to the park. There's a lot of stuff that people are doing behind the scenes from the governing bodies to downward to say, okay, well, what happens, you know, it starts July or if it starts in August. Then you've got all the leagues, right? You've got all the leagues where the teams play and the grassroots. So I'd love to say it'll start immediately. I don't know, but I think most clubs will be ready. But there's going to be some facet of maybe integration, training. Maybe there might not be. I don't know. Like for certain leagues, maybe they'll have different type of way to get there somehow in a shortened season if it's possible.
Yeah. You know, Reg, you were saying about, you know, games and so on. And Nick was just, you know, hit it right there is what we've been hearing and, you know, said it really well is that, you know, even if it's just getting out on the pitch, and that's what we're hearing too, is think right. even before we can even get to thinking of games, whatever ratio it is, get on the fields and safety and safe protocol. And that's exactly. what they, Nick, you mentioned this before, and I want to make sure that we get everybody who is part of this. We said Serge DeLuca. We're going to talk about the Vaughn staff. Serge DeLuca. Luca Forno's been on it and doing a good job of it as well. Jody Forno's actually been doing with the grassroots, the Zooms. Carm Isacco was on a call the other day having his input there. Patrice Geyser, Jordan Feliciano, and Anthony Vidori, guys like that. I'm missing a lot of guys, but these are guys that are even doing stuff with our older groups too. So
yeah, you've got Vince Calabria, Paulo Ciccarelli.
That's right. I mean, there you go. So can't forget those guys. Absolutely.
There's Vince. So many, and if you have permissive names, but our directors have taken the lead and sort of, and every coach has just jumped on and been part of it. Whatever they needed to do, they put up their hand. I mean, and you can see it in most clubs have been doing it as well. We had Zooms, we had professional players speak that were part of our club. You know, the Kamal Millers, Westberg has his few kids in our program.
Yeah, he's with my son. Yeah.
You know, they're working behind the scenes as we are, right? We're getting ready so that when that date comes, are we prepared with making sure all our coaches have masks, you know, even looking at temperature to check on the fields? At this point, we don't have sort of the exact saying, okay, this is what return to play. This is the requirements. Yeah. We've got a sort of a template that Serge has put together with the quadrants of 4-1, if it's needed. Whatever the new guideline or that guideline will be, we'll be ready. Yeah. It's just not going to be exactly the way it was prior to this.
Well, I think, Nick, what you're saying is whenever we get back, we have to be ready. And not just, I would say, Nick, not just the people involved in organizing. I think even, you know, parents and whoever's around, we got to be patient with this and doing our part too, because everyone's going to have a part, you know, and making sure that we follow the regulations, whatever those are. You know, a lot of our governing bodies, Nick, they take a lot of flack sometimes, but I do think this time, and I'm not just adding fodder, I think all of our governing bodies are trying to do the right thing, listening to each other, working together. And a lot of technical directors I've spoken to have said, wow, you know, it's taken this, and obviously it was tongue-in-cheek, that more groups are working together and trying to follow the lead of the governing bodies, whether it be, you know, in our province, Ontario Soccer, and of course, you know, Canada Soccer nationally. So kudos to everybody involved, because Nick, I know you're putting in a lot of time too, and all the guys that you mentioned. So thank you. And thank you to all club, you know, representatives in all clubs around our country doing what they do. So definitely. I think thanks, right?
Definitely. I mean, and the parents have played a great part of it as well, their understanding and stuff. And when we get back, I mean, things will be a little bit different, but we're going to be back on the grass and kids having some fun, right? That's what it's all about. But at the end of the day, I guess it's as I keep hearing on the news all the time, it's fluid. It's this every, you know, you sort of, we just got to be patient and follow what's coming down, and we will get back. The good news is we'll be back, just we don't know when.
Yeah, for sure. Nick, what are you looking forward to the most? Like, I know we do miss, but you just probably mentioned it, but what do you miss the most of, like, cause think about it, Nick, like today would be like, it's a Thursday night. And probably last year at this time, we were getting ready, and Nick was, we were watching your son, who's part of our Vaughn Soccer Club, plays at Fairfield. Good little player, Daniel Raimondo, and his group. Because I know for me, that's what I miss the most. I'd probably be at the field and, you know, on the bench or watching a game. Like, what do you miss the most?
Watching soccer, watching the kids, watching games, interacting, seeing you guys. I mean, when it does start up, look, we'll be like 7 days a week out there just taking it all in, the noises. You miss everything.
You do.
The socializing, the friendships you make, just seeing kids have smiles on their faces. Yeah. I mean, getting back into that routine, as much as everybody, you know, everybody's in this lockdown routine. We got to remain positive, I think. It sounds like it's going to get better. And once we get the green light, kudos to everybody. You know, it's not just about Vaughn Soccer Club. I think everybody's putting in time. And I think in times such as this, it's like you mentioned, Joe, it also brought, I know from the technical staff, they have like a group that, you know, they're all constantly chatting with each other. Everybody's brainstorming, passing on what they're doing. And I get everybody's in it together, right? At the end of the day, every association, everybody's trying to deal with this pandemic. That's
the best we can, right?
Hopefully it doesn't happen again.
That's right.
And you feel bad, right? Because it's affected a lot of people through the deaths have taken place, loss of jobs, the economy. It's a bigger picture, right? Soccer is just that little piece of the pie.
Well said, Nick. Well, you know what I'm looking forward to, Nick? I'm going to tell you right now. So, you know, we got to get Reggie out to our major stadiums, North Maple Park, McNaughton, Maple CC, right? Hey, Nick, that's what we need. We need Reggie on site to catch some of the games there, don't we? That's what we need.
I've never been invited and never know when the games are.
It costs too much money, man.
I do a podcast with a major member of the Vaughn Soccer Club. Never been to a game.
Major member. No, not me.
We'll get him a guest spot on the bench just so he can take it all.
Having Nick on the show in order to get
the bantering going. Nick is the mover and shaker.
Awesome. Absolutely. I'll be there.
Then you know what he's going to do. And then Nick's going to charge you for a banner, Football Weekly at North Maple. Nick's got an angle. Don't you worry.
As long as I'm outside, he can do whatever he wants right now. So
that's awesome. Nick, thank you very much, man. It was great to have you. And we look forward to having you again. We said it before. We really appreciate your support and even stirring up conversation with our show. It's been ever since you've been with us, it's been awesome. So we do appreciate that.
We do.
Continued success and safety, and wish everybody that we talked about well, and we hope to be on the pitch very, very soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll see you on the pitch. And Reggie, I'm going to have you out there. As soon as we come up, you're coming to a game.
Nick, you're the best. You're the best. Right. Thank you very much. Joe, you listening to what Nick's doing?
It's all these guests.
I don't know much about your background. I guess you played the game.
I played a little bit, Joe, right?
I'll say it for you. Reggie was a Division I athlete, too. He went to UMBC.
Yeah,
he did.
He's just downplaying it.
So he was a baller
He still is pretty damn good. It hurts me to say that, but yeah.
Long time ago, 40 pounds and a lot of hair later. Yeah, it might have been a good player back in the day, but whatever. Yeah, Nick, we appreciate you being on the show. Thank you for your continued support, and we look forward to talking to you down the road as well when the leagues start get going. Maybe you can come on the show and give us a little breakdown of how Inter's doing.
Perfect. And great job. Keep doing great stuff you guys are doing with the podcast, and it's great. Look forward to it every week. All right, guys?
Thank you. Have a good one. So, guys, that was Nick Raimondo from the Vaughn Soccer Club. Great guest, very personable, off-air banter, hilarious.
So he might win
the best off-air banter. But yeah, in the second half of the show, guys, we're going to talk about the Bundesliga and what's going on there. And we'll hit a little bit of a preview of the EPL and talk about a little bit about MLS and Serie A and the Italian Cup that we mentioned in the intro. So, guys, stay tuned for that.
Hey, guys, it's Patrice Geiser, head coach of Seneca Men's Soccer, part of the Vaughn Men's High Performance. You are listening to the Football Weekly Podcast.
So, guys, the second half of the podcast, we're going to be talking about Bundesliga and Joe.
Wow. Like, we're talking about, like, live football, guys.
It's live football. No fans. Like, no fans, but
no
still.
No fans.
It's baby steps, right, Joe? It's got to be baby steps.
It is. And this week we were treated to some amazing stuff with the Bundesliga. I don't know about everybody else, but I'm liking it. I get it. We've missed it. So it's like you're really, you know, whatever would be on, you'd really like. But it's been pretty good. For guys being off for a long time, I think the level's been pretty good.
Yep. So you know which guys have been training and which guys have been sitting around watching Killing Eve on Netflix, right? So you know which guys have been training. And I also saw when I was looking at the scores and some of the highlights of some of the games, lots of red cards. So I don't know if that has something to do with fitness or, you know, and they're all towards the end of the game.
That's a good
point.
So
it might be a little bit of fatigue. You know, the brain going a little or not being exactly tackle sharp in these games, but lots of red cards. I think six last week. So that's a lot.
That's a good point.
That's a lot for
you're doing homework, eh, Reg? I like that,
buddy. Football Weekly Podcast. Up, you got it. These guys will call you on it. So
now we're under the microscope here, right? The spotlight. Well, you know what? This week was obviously what caught my eye in the Bundesliga. Like everyone, I've been watching, you know. Der Klassiker, right? And of course, between Dortmund and Bayern would always raise our eyebrows and gain our attention. But I think it gave us a little more of something to get excited for or about in Canada because, there's this one guy and his name is Alphonso Davies. And he is playing out of this world, is he not, Reg?
Well, he is. And he was playing out of this world before even COVID. But now that they are on the platform.
I think
he's getting more love from the United States because they're just like, oh wow, there's this player out of I think he's from Canada, like, plays for Bayern Munich, and it's like, well, we've known about him for a good 4 or 5 years by now. But I mean, yeah, he's playing well. There was an interview by Thomas Muller after the game.
It made its way around social media.
He was talking about meet the Roadrunner. He just gets the ball and he's gone. And it's not like a I'm sorry to say, a Theo Walcott or a Aaron Lennon type of sprinting. Just kick the ball as far as you can and run after because you're faster than everybody. He has close control too, and he's beating you with pure pace and skill. And
that little run he made in the box too.
Of course, he
went in and ended the byline, and where him and Hummels had a little go at. And then of course the one where Thomas Muller said the meet road runner comparison is, and there's Haaland. You know, so new. Young star to young star. Mm-hmm. He's in on goal. It seems to be going to be in on goal. And then out of seemingly nowhere, 25, 30 yards out, Alphonso Davies comes blasting and blazing down and catches him, wins the ball, and goes the other way.
Yeah.
I mean, recovery is incredible.
You know, you've seen that many times. There was a game of Bayern Munich versus Chelsea. He was all over the place.
He was incredible.
I think Champions League game, I believe it was.
Yeah, he was great all over the place. Yeah. Might have been the game where he introduced himself to the world. I mean,
box to box wing back. Like he'll win the ball in his 18-yard box, and 15 seconds he's in the other box, curling it in. So I mean, great to see our Canadian players doing well. There's a fight for even Jonathan David. We'll talk about all of that.
You just took the words out of my mouth.
We'll talk about all of that as we get closer to start dates of other leagues and where those guys are going. We're all waiting for La Liga's date. And, you know, we have the Premier League starting June 17th, I believe.
Yeah. I think La Liga gave a date too, Reg.
Did they?
I want to check that too. Yeah, I think we got to check that too.
We'll
take a look.
Yep.
You know, maybe we'll tell them in the show. One last thing about Alphonso Davies, guys. Yep. You know what really, really stood out to me? Never mind the play. We got that. And it's, you know, sexy to talk about that now. Is he the best player in CONCACAF? And does Pulisic or someone have something to say about that? I got it. No, there's a lot of players. But what stood out, just saying, there's people talking. But for me, what stood out was
Mueller is talking about him and complimenting him. Don't get me wrong, but you know that you know says something about you know maybe sometimes his positioning's not always there, but you know it's very complimentary about you know his recovery and his ability to learn. What really impressed me was Alphonso Davies' interview after, and this maturity. Alphonso Davies is 19 years old, and the fact that how he addressed you know the reporter as if to say, yeah, you know, I know I need to work on this and that, and sometimes positionally. And so on. But, you know, I'm working hard every day. And it wasn't contrived, Vetch. It wasn't like, it was like, you know, I'm going to say this. It was genuine. Good for Alphonso Davies. I'm going to say good for his camp, whoever has been, you know, dealing with him, especially his family. We know his story, you know, pretty amazing. There's another Ghana connection there too, Vetch, right? And good for them. And again, you cheer for a kid like Alphonso Davies.
Because he gets right? it.
He gets it, and you really wish him all the best. His rise at Bayern Munich and Vancouver Whitecaps and all that stuff, good for him, and the sky's the limit. You mentioned Jonathan David, so it's a good time, right? It's a good time for us to be excited as Canadian soccer fans.
100% it is, 100%. Yeah. And you wish nothing but the best, but we want to see all these games back. At the beginning of the show, I told you it's like a train coming at us, so there's a lot of games coming, and it's 3 weeks away, and you're sitting there saying, oh my God, it's in June, but it's April, it's May 29th. It's three weeks away. We're going to be watching. There's going to be a lot of
sports.
Yeah, for sure we are.
We're going to be watching a lot of sports, for sure a lot of soccer. Like there's rumors of the NBA, NHL and stuff. So
yeah,
that's the good part. I mean, if you're looking, there's silver lining, right? And so on. Of course, we say this every week, guys, we want everybody to be healthy. And that's, you know, priority one. But I am excited about this. I'm finally starting to get excited about soccer, football, whatever. And it's a great time. Today, we had the announcement of EPL going to be coming back, Serie A coming back. So pretty amazing. Serie A thing, and we'll leave this again. You probably all saw the tweet where Lukaku said, Davies as fast as fill in the expletive, right? So they're watching. So players are watching too, is my point. So it's pretty fun to see.
Excellent. That is great to see. And I can't wait to get even our league started, Joe. I was debating.
You think it's gonna happen? I don't know.
I think it will, and I'm at the point right now. I wasn't gonna play in a certain league this year because it was too far to drive. Joe, I'll walk there. I have to. So
well, we miss our football, right?
Well, that's
the whole point.
We sure do. It'd be very interesting to see how the men's leagues combat this because I have a feeling as soon as the fields are open, league's on. That's how I think they're gonna do it, but. You know, I think the right way is the way that Vaughn's doing it. Where you're, just because they said the field's open doesn't mean we're on, and that's the problem. Yeah. The proper approach to take, better safe than sorry, right?
Yeah, and I think that's all. Like Nick said, it's like all clubs are following throughout Ontario and Canada and so on. So all the different clubs are going to try to hopefully follow the protocol. And you're watching it now with the Bundesliga and stuff, you know, and these other leagues that are trying to find. You know, a ground that's not only common in terms of, you know, how they're doing things, but for safety. So we're excited about it. Of course, it's guarded, but I'd be lying if I said I wasn't excited to watch some games. I mean, I'm upset when I miss some of the Bundesliga games. Like, I like the replays because, like, I want to watch as many of them as I can.
Yeah, exactly.
So, right, Reg? So, but it was great to see. So again, and it's great to see a Canadian at the fore of it, which is pretty incredible. I mentioned before, so the Serie A looks like it's going to start June 13th. Actually, the league will start the 20th, but the Coppa Italia semifinals, the second legs, will be on June 13th. So that's what they're aiming for. The EPL, you're already saying, players show up for training and so on. Looks like nice weather in England, by the way, from what I've been seeing. So. Let's hope that that gets started, you know, with a nice, safe, easy path, or as easy as can be.
Well, let's also hope that we're all still at home so we can watch these games.
That's a good point. Right? So, went at the coincide, yeah.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, Joe, anything? I know we're going to talk. Guys, we have another interview next week, and we have another interview the week after that. And then
we're lining up interviews. I apologize, Reg. Yep. We're lining up interviews, and that's great. Our guests have been amazing. Thank you to all of them.
Fantastic.
Right? And our support. We love our support. Two people that we've had on and so on. Follow Casey and Final Third Soccer. Mm-hmm. And of course, Marcus at FTF. Those guys are doing great things. They made a great announcement. That's what I'm talking about right now. Cool announcement this past week in true FTF fashion, FTF Canada, where they have a new platform where players can register on their platform. And Marcus and the guys at FTF will It's a you sign up for it, and it's basically you're into their database, and they help find whatever path you're on. They will connect you with, you know, what you're looking for, and it's a great platform, a database that they've gone and you know, here they are in a pandemic. They figured out something to be useful and more useful, I should say, for the player and for, you know, young players and aspiring players. So check it out. Now you can sign up for their platform. And saying that, Reg, what I'm getting to is all these leagues that are looking to, you know, how they're going to have a path to play and back to play. CPL is no different. Right. The CPL has been trying. They're again, these are all target dates. We get it. And we're talking about July, I want to say maybe. And they're looking at different places. At first, there was rumored that maybe in the province of Manitoba. The latest I've heard now is the province of PEI.
Not bad.
So they're looking at some different things. So again, don't quote me on that. I want people saying, "Oh, you know, they said the CPL is going to start here." There's just things that they're bantering about and trying to figure out. Everybody wants to get back to soccer, don't they, Reg? Oh,
Joe, you said it right there. Yeah. And I think that's how we should end the show. So, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.